Cool, we're recording. All right, yeah, I'm here with Dallas, of Vic Foo Guys. I've wanted to talk to this guy for a while. I have a few listeners that aren't locals to Victoria, so maybe skip this one, whatever. I don't care. Very popular Instagram page you got, man. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
So the first thing I'm just curious about is like how the hell did you get started with that? Because I did some digging. I listened to a bunch of your podcasts. I went through your entire Instagram page a couple times, and I wanted, what's your relationship essentially with food and Victoria's food scene like?
So I'm somebody that if you know me and you know I go in somewhere and there's like something crazy on a menu, then it's default, it's going to get ordered. That's just what's going to happen. Like the crazier, the better. If I see something that's totally just out there, I'm like, it's going to get ordered. Like, I don't care if I'm wasting $50 on something and it's like horrible. If it's crazy, I just need to try it.
Yeah.
So, it was never like, I never intended for anything to be like this. It was my buddy, Mike, one of my coworkers. He had an idea because on Facebook, like my Facebook, friends list is very small. When I go to a restaurant, like, even up to like 9 years ago, I would take a photo and just throw it on my Facebook. And Mike thought that I should share those photos with a bigger audience than just like, 90 people on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
So he went through my Facebook, saved all my photos, created the account. It was just, didn't have an S at that point. It was this Vic Food guy. And his intention was that he would post all my stuff, knowing that I would get interested, and then he would hand it off to me and I would go. But then I said, let's add an S on the end and do it together. So it's because of Mike. Like I would have never started this. So it's
Yeah.
interesting now that like I mean, it spawned into us being on CFAX. Like we did over 100 segments on the radio, on CTV. And so now, yeah, Mike's not active anymore. So it's interesting how it sort of all played out the way he thought it was going to,
Yeah.
4.5 years later or whatever.
He's the puppet master, man. Pulling
Oh
your
yeah,
strings.
he's the yeah. Without him, this wouldn't exist. So he's always the reason why I'll never change the name is because he's always a part of it, whether he's active or not. And like I tell him that when I talk to him, he's still a part of it, even if he's not active.
Yeah,
Without
no, there's no bad blood or anything. It's just,
oh no. No, Mike's my brother. Like I love him,
yeah, hell yeah.
but he's got he's got his family and other hobbies he wanted to pursue. So,
So what is the what is the obligation of running this page look like, if that makes sense? You know, like what is because I imagine a lot of it's probably pretty abstract, generally speaking. You started the podcast, I think, just before the pandemic, or is that right?
Well, so the podcast, I wanted to start that. I think I first started thinking about it like last September, or not last September, September 2019. Like seriously, I was thinking, oh, I should do this. But then I also know that when I do something, like I go all in, like
Yeah.
I'm in 199%. I'm gonna dive in completely. So I knew it was gonna be a lot of work, and it just it might have even been before that I thought about it. And it just marinated for a while. And for a while, I mean like 8 months. Like it was just marinating.
Like all
And
good
then,
ideas.
yeah. And it just, I knew it was going to be a lot of work, especially not knowing audio engineering, not knowing the equipment. Because I knew that when I'm doing it, I wanted to do it in person, like on location.
Yeah.
So I had to be flexible that way. But it's figuring all this stuff out. Like I knew how much work that was going to be. So I think I kind of pushed it off until eventually it was just like I told enough of people about it that it was getting embarrassing that I hadn't done it yet.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that. If you're going to talk big talk, you always got to eventually execute or humbly say, yeah, I gave up on that.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm fine saying I gave up on something, but it's important to me. Like when we used to do the radio segments and those stopped, I really missed doing that. I really miss doing that because it was just an opportunity, a different way. Like with food is a very visual thing, but there's also like, I mean, the podcast is called Vic Food Stories. Food and like plates or dishes can like tell a story. And so
Yeah.
that's a visual thing. You got to sort of receive that via a different medium, whether it's like written or people talking. So
because the Instagram picture is, it's like, it's good, it's sexy, but it is like it doesn't give you the whole thing. You can you know, you can dress up a piece of shit to look pretty good, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a it's kind of like a picture book or something, I guess.
Yeah,
like it's,
look at some, so my favorite food is barbecue, right? And barbecue is not a very presentation friendly thing unless you really like barbecue, you know, like classic barbecue.
I mean, you can have some food that doesn't look great, but it'll blow your mind.
Yeah,
exactly. But I just feel like people, like I'm. It's funny because I'm very introverted, but through the course of like doing the radio and all that kind of stuff and really meeting just a lot of different people, I've realized that I like connecting with people like on a meaningful level, not small talk, but learning people's stories and documenting that. That's a big thing with the podcast, I think, is that documentation is important.
Yes. I think because, so too.
Yeah. Like once something's recorded and it's put on YouTube, then it's there.
Yeah. Which is why I very much wanted to talk to you was, I've always been interested in Victoria's food scene because I've spent the last quite a while working in restaurants and stuff. Something I would always talk to people about, and it seemed like a very complicated thing, and that there wasn't really any resource, even really, you know, or any consensus on sort of a culture. And I look at your page as being the only sort of bastion of connection there, outside of like, you know, social circles.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's, yeah, I don't take like running the page and that stuff, I don't take it lightly. Like one fact about Mike and I, like our pillar from right from the start was, we don't want to make any money from this. So like, I've never, I haven't even received like money wise. I mean, yeah, we get free food. People want us to try stuff and that happens. But as far as money goes, like I haven't received a cent for anything ever on the account. We were going to take sponsorship at one point. And we were going to have an app made on like iOS and Android and a website and all that kind of stuff. And that ended up not, after a really long development, that ended up not working. So we didn't even end up taking that sponsorship. So
what would the app have looked like?
I think it was going to kind of like have articles. There would have been some long form stuff, but there would have also been a portion in it with like a map, like a.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I figured.
Yeah. Maybe with like, I don't know how Matt was doing it. If it was through like the Google API, I don't think it was, but it was going to have like a map, and then you could click on places that we had posted and it would bring up like it would show the post and it'd basically like kind of give a stamp of approval or something. So it was going to be like a visual thing. But I think with something like that now, like really thinking about it, like with an app, you have to be on top of it. You have to always be updating your stuff, because if you don't keep it updated, then it's going to get kicked off the app store or whatever. And then getting people to download another app on their phone and get them to use it when it would be different. In this case, it'd be something about me. Like, I just don't think that many people would do it.
Yeah, so, I'll be honest. I would stick to the Instagram page myself. I would not download the app.
Well, that would have never stopped. Yeah. Yeah, that would have never stopped. But this was going to be like a supplementary, like a companion type thing.
Yeah.
So it didn't work, but it's okay. It's okay. It's experience. I mean, we went out, we got sponsorship, or we were going to have sponsorship, and like we'd never done anything like that before. So that was good to know that we could sort of pitch something and get someone to believe in it enough that they would like pay money, you know?
Yeah, but, that's really cool.
Yeah. So that was a good experience, but it was, overall, I'm happy. I think that I can still say that I haven't taken a cent.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess you've eaten at a lot of restaurants in the city, right? Like,
yeah.
A couple. Yeah. I've sat down recently. This is another reason I wanted to talk to you. And I sat down and I wrote every restaurant I'd eaten at in Victoria.
Were you born here?
No, but I moved here when I was like 13. So.
So do you mind me asking how old you are now?
Yeah, I'm 25.
Okay. So that's quite a lot of years. And you remember all of them?
Well, It was kind of like after I became more thoughtful about food, I would say, which would probably be in the last 4 or 5 years, I would say.
Okay.
Working at Part and Parcel. I worked at Part and Parcel for a number of years, and that gave me a much greater appreciation for food and to be a little bit more thoughtful and critical and open-minded all at the same time about food. And really, like, I've always liked, you know, I like the idea that everything is art, and obviously food is art, but that really, I got to see it, you know, working. And that was very eye-opening. But, 86 different restaurants is roughly 86. We have terrible pub food here, man. I got to tell you, that's the big one. I was like, all the pubs I've eaten at don't cut it for me.
But, really?
Yeah. Oh.
Then as far as a pub, what would you like that isn't being fulfilled with your experiences?
Smaller menus would help, I think. Okay. I think that a lot of them are doing too much. I think, I try not to factor in price point. You said that earlier too, which I tend to agree with, but when you're also buying beers, you know what I mean? Like, you can't help but go, Jesus Christ, this is a $35 fish and chips or whatever. Right.
I did a $30 macaroni and cheese at one of the pubs here once.
Was it a huge portion?
No.
Oh man, which pub?
I had chicken to it and all sorts of crap, and it was $30.
Was it in Bastion Square?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
And I just feel also with the pub food, it's like commit to either being nice or commit to being classic greasy food. I don't like the kind of, you know, you have like two fancy things on the menu and then you can also get fries and stuff, and I'm always disappointed with all of it. Just go dirty or go clean, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, like the middle.
I love pubs, and I don't know why. I always, most of the time, I regret ordering it, but calamari.
Dude, I'm the same way. I always go for the calamari.
I don't know why. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm in this I don't know, this place that shouldn't even be serving calamari. And I'm like, oh, it's calamari. I'll do that. And I don't know why I do it, but there's the odd time where I've been very surprised. And then it's like almost like all the times that I wasn't so stoked, the time that it actually like exceeded my expectation, it was like made up for all the other times. It was great.
Yeah, I'm with that 100%. Yeah, I had a very disappointing calamari experience at a restaurant I'd never been to recently, actually.
Okay.
I imagine you don't want to talk shit, but I will, if that's okay.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. I don't do anything negative.
Yeah, I get that vibe from you, which is good.
Yeah.
It's good. But it was the penny farthing. I had calamari there, and I was wildly – it was really bad.
Okay, so what was it, rubbery, or what was the deal?
The calamari was fine. The breading, it wasn't deep fried long enough, and they did not – wash the red onions, as far as I could tell. So that was the prominent flavor, was diced up red onions that looked like more like a garnish. That was the dominating flavor in the fucking...
Oh, yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It needs to be crispy, too. If it's not crispy, then it's not... I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I found they're inconsistent. They can be really good, the penny farthing and vis-a-vis, but that particular dish didn't cut it for me that day.
Okay, I've never been to either, honestly. Okay.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I would recommend Vis-a-Vis and get their Niçoise salad is really, really good. I recommend that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that kind of thing, though. The sort of pretty, clean, simple salad kind of thing. Done very nicely. I'm very much for.
So, do you ever go to Nourish?
Yes, I did. I did. Yeah. Nourish was fucking sweet.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what about Charlotte and the Quail?
I don't know Charlotte and the Quail.
So that's it's at the Heart of Cultural Center, and that was where Nourish first started, was in that location. So okay. I've only been to Charlotte and the Quail once, but like I've been to Nourish a few times, and it's amazing food. I would say that like my impression, and I don't know if this is true, but my impression of Charlotte and the Quail is that it's Nourish, but like even cleaner food.
Yeah.
Nourish is clean, right?
Yeah.
Like super tasty and super clean. You don't walk out feeling bad. You walk out feeling great. But like Charlotte and the Quail was even cleaner food, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I find it's you're hard pressed to find decent, clean food in this city. Like, I think we like our we seem to really like Asian food here, I find. Which is generally like sushi's clean, but it's like
it can be.
Yeah, it can be. It's not filling.
Fish though, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. I had sashimi today, actually. It was alright. Sushi was a Sushi Island, Hillside Mall.
Oh yeah, right across there.
Yeah, underrated, good spot, I'd say.
I haven't been there in a very long time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. A lot of those places are very similar, you know.
Yeah.
I'd say it's on the better end of sort of a Zuma tier sushi, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like for like quality, the sort of bang for the dollar type stuff is Bon Sushi in Oak Bay.
Bon Sushi is my number one sushi place in the city, without a doubt. Really? Number one. Yeah. I think it's really, really good. And the price is so reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel like with Bon Sushi, if you were going to like intro somebody to sushi and you don't want to spend $1 million, I just kind of feel like you could just go there and get some stuff. And that's kind of like a good starting point to see if they actually like it or not.
Yeah. I like their menu too. Cause it's a little busy, but everything, there's nothing that doesn't belong on there either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever worked in a restaurant? That's the thing I want to know the most.
My first job ever was when I was 16 and I was a dishwasher at the, I think it was called the Brass Duck in Tillicum Mall. I think it was Chinese food. But it was in Tillicum Mall. It was a restaurant there. And I did it for the summer. And that was it. I've never worked in a restaurant since then.
Okay.
So I don't know how to cook anything. Almost literally. I can't cook some stuff, but yeah, not that much.
Yeah. So you're a patron. You're a patron of the arts.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have some level of appreciation without even know, like, my palate sucks, but I just know what I like what tastes good.
Yeah. So what do you like? What's your like top cuisines if you had to, at least with your options locally? Talking broad spectrumly, because, like, you know, I like my pho or pho, I should say.
Go for that.
Yeah. I breakfast I've lost love for, frankly.
Where do you go for your pho?
I there's this hot, contentious subject amongst people, but pho v and Phenomenal, I'd say, are my top two. And I think that there's this place that's really close to Phenomenal called Pho U that's really underrated, and it's really sweet. There's sweet people there.
That's off of like Tilla or Shelburne, right? In that area.
Yeah,
I like the pho. I like the I like it at the two that stand out to me are the Chinatown location of the Village, because I love sweet things. Like, if something's like sweet, like if it, like anything, I mean, if there's something sweet, I'm gonna enjoy it.
I worked there for a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So did you try the pho there?
No, I didn't know they did that. In fact, they might not have done that when I worked there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's more of a recent thing.
Okay.
So they that stuff's amazing. And then the spicy, I really like the spicy one at Pho Ha Long. So I recommend getting, I think it's like the 202 or the 203, but getting it with spicy broth and get the steak on the side so it's completely raw. And they bring it to you raw. And you dunk it in and let it cook in the actual thing. Yeah.
That's my mom's favorite thing in the world. She loves the dunking it in raw and cooking it herself.
Really? Okay. Well, then there you go.
Yeah. Pseudo hot pot, you know?
Yeah. They crush there. They crush.
Okay. I'll check it out. Yeah. Royal Oak, because I got to check out more over in Royal Oak for sure. I'm not out there very often.
Yeah. I don't. I don't really go anywhere else there. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of chains up in Royal Oak. From what, like, in my mental map of Royal Oak, I'm seeing McDonald's, A&W, Thrifty Foods, Subway, you know. Oh, there's the Met. Yeah. The Met Grill is out there, actually.
There's Met Grill. There's the Fireside Grill.
Oh, yeah. I like the Fireside Grill. Yeah.
And then there's I mean, the Village is right there. Then there's some other stuff in that little complex, and I forget what there is.
How many locations does the Village have now? Is it five?
There's five.
Okay.
Yeah. How many different different kitchens have you worked in?
Four. I've worked in four. Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean three sort of, but yeah, I butcher shop. So
it was four and three sort of.
Well, butcher shop. I don't know if a butcher shop counts, you know.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah. Okay. Then four. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just quit my job at Farm and Field.
Okay. Farm and Field was actually up until I think I moved away and then I stopped going there. But I went there for years. That was my spot.
Yeah. Dude, the product is so good.
I stopped going. Rebecca's super nice I love Farm and Field.
Yeah, you should talk to her if you haven't already. Your business card is in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's she's got one of those things?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's just in a wall with a bunch of other postcards. Yeah, but or not postcards, business cards, but yeah.
That's when Mike and I still have some of those. I don't have that many left, but that's when Mike and I would go approach somebody and we were like, "Hey, we want to talk about you on the radio. Would you be down with that?" Yeah, and we drop everybody a business card.
Yeah.
Is it? Does it have the crab on it on the back, or is it black or white?
I think I think it was colorful.
Because like we had ones on the top of it was either white on black or black on white, or the very original ones. They had one of the first photos that we ever uploaded of like a crab, and then it says VFG over a crab, and it's like bright red and all sorts of stuff on it.
Yeah. I don't remember, to be honest, man. I don't know.
Okay, that's a limited edition one.
Yeah.
Probably like none of those in existence anymore, except for the couple I have.
Yeah. Business cards. You like, yeah, you put a lot of thought into the business cards, I guess, eh?
I think it's important if you are going to do business cards, to have something at least halfway decent.
Yeah, of course. It's like, you ever seen the movie American Psycho?
Yes.
Yeah, like the eggshell white or whatever.
Yeah, where they're all comparing them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit too extreme.
Yeah, maybe. It all matters though, man. Like, you know, like when you think of like plating of food, even like the littlest, you know, there's this thing that people kind of meme in higher culinary thing, the dots, you call them, you know, on plates where you take like a tiny bit of like maybe a sous vide or fucking like Japanese mayo or something and just dots for artistic purpose.
Yeah.
It matters. In the end.
Well, with that, how do you draw the line? I guess it's personal preference, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's like, what are you trying to, I mean, you could load it up with a whole bunch of them, or you could put one, or you could put none.
Yeah.
So what about you? If you're doing a little plate, like a small plate, are you putting dots around the food?
I'm not a presentation guy. I'm not a good cook. I'm mostly prep and dishwashing, so I don't have a fucking clue, man. Like,
okay,
I can make mean scrambled eggs. That's the best I got for you, man.
Is there any? You have any secrets?
Well, I just do the Gordon Ramsay way. If you ever seen the video of him making scrambled eggs, I do that.
No,
it's pretty good. Yeah, basically his thing is he's like treat it like a risotto, you know?
Yeah.
So you keep it moving. He uses a lot of butter because he's British, and that's what they do. And at the end he takes it off the heat just before they're done, and he adds creme fraiche to cool it down and stirs it in really quick, and then that's it.
Basically. Oh really?
Yeah. But I use sour cream when I do that. Just a little bit. Or Greek yogurt.
Yeah, sour cream, yogurt's amazing. Sour cream is just like my girlfriend just showed me the craziest thing, but sour cream and it's Doritos. I think it's the sweet chili heat ones.
Yeah.
If you get the sweet chili heat and dip it in sour cream, that's just a monster combination.
That sounds hella good. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds so good. Yeah.
It is not even funny how good that is.
Yeah. Love the sweet chili heat too. I want to know your thoughts on snack food. That's something I'm curious about. Cause I've heard rumors that you're a cookie monster for one.
Yeah.
And I'm a big aficionado of store-bought goods, gas station snacks, etc.
First thing that needs to happen at some point is you have to go to Japan and go to 7-Eleven there.
I've heard about this. I saw it on the Dave Chang shit.
It's not even funny. You have to experience that.
Yeah, they make like full meals and shit, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The 7-Eleven there is you could easily like go to Japan and just live off food at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And never eat anywhere else. I mean, I wouldn't recommend doing that, but you certainly could. And like one of the unexpected things that was great was like sandwiches. I think the crusts were even cut off. I don't remember about that. I think they were, but it's just like white bread with strawberries and custard inside the white bread.
Okay.
For some reason, it was like awesome. Like when I go back, that's gonna be like the first thing I eat there.
What do they call it? Is there a name for it?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Probably strawberry sandwich.
Okay. That sounds good. You know, I'm a big advent of like using Wonder Bread type Wonder Bread, white Wonder Bread as like a,
yeah.
Yeah. Like in unique ways.
It was good. Oh yeah. Like that was, and then one of the things that Anton really liked that they had these, I think it might've been Haagen-Dazs, but it was a crispy sandwich where it was like this ice cream sandwich. And so we went to 13 cities or 12 cities in 13 days. So we went all over the country and he had it maybe in Shinjuku or wherever we were. And then he, like the rest of the trip, he was trying to chase it and find it again because we couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And near the end in Tokyo, we found it in one of the spots. And it was just those crispy sandwiches are just, those are so good.
So crispy ice cream sandwich? Is that what you're telling me?
So yeah, it's got like a crust. It's like, I don't know how to explain it.
Is it like battered, kind of battered or?
No, it's sort of like a, that's not even what it's like though. I'm just trying to play in my head what it would be like.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a, like what's pig's fat? Is it chicharron?
I have no idea. Yeah.
I think it's chicharron. The crispy pig fat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's not puffy like that. It's not like that, but it's, my memory is saying it's kind of in that same ballpark of like texture.
Okay.
So it's ice cream in the middle of like that. So the top and bottom is like crispy like that, but it's thin. Like the top and bottom is like a little thing, but it's just the ice cream in the middle, but crunching through the top and the bottom is just it's a good scenario.
Yeah. That sounds hella good. Yeah. Japanese food is amazing. I had a friend, go over there and do some staging at, there's some restaurant there that was, it was Noma affiliated. So a former cook at Noma opened a restaurant. He worked there and, Jesus Christ, disciplined food, at least on the higher end of things.
Yeah. I find with food that, like, I think one of the challenges for me about cooking is that I don't get like a super big payoff. Like if I do spend the time to make food, like I'm proud of it and it feels good, but I don't get enough payoff internally that it makes it me want to like do it like every day, for example, yeah. And like put them in. I'm much more of a like, want to make a big pot of like quinoa salad with a bunch of just raw veggies and meat and make like five meals out of it. And then I'll heat them up, but I don't want to like do a meal every day. I just like, I cook in bulk. I don't know.
Yeah. Meal prepping. Cause I was going to ask too, like, so you eat out from what I could tell from the page, you eat out five days a week. Does that sound right? Maybe.
Oh, it depends. I go in waves. There'll be times where I'll eat out cause I do intermittent fasting. So.
Okay. Yeah. I'm into that right now too, actually.
I mean, and shout out to Butcher Brew. The stuff's incredible. If you like kombucha.
I do. Is it boozy?
This one is not. This one is more, no, it's not boozy. Although someone was just telling me recently that a lot of, companies are misrepresenting how much alcohol is in their kombucha.
Yeah. I was talking to, a friend of mine who doesn't drink anymore. A couple of days ago, ran into him in the grocery store and he was telling me a story about how he drank some kombucha, some friend of a friend of a friend made on Salt Spring Island, and he doesn't drink anymore. And he drank the kombucha and he was like, okay, this was a mistake. I feel a little woozy. Got to be careful with this shit.
Well, the homemade stuff, you got to be careful with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've made kombucha before. But, yeah, this Butcher Brew, it's made in Vancouver. I mean, there's a lot of good producers here. There's no question. But this one in particular, the mint, if you can ever try this, I love it because, like, how much sugar is in this thing? There's 6 grams of sugar. in this tin, which generally when you get down to like 4 and 6 grams, it tastes really vinegary. Yeah. But this one still, like, this one doesn't have that real vinegar taste. It tastes clean, very minty, but it's really good.
I guess the mint, you can use the mint to really push away the sugar, I think, too.
Yeah, I don't know. But this one, because a lot of kombucha is like, it's like, might as well drink pop, is how I feel about it, because there's so much sugar in it.
Yeah, like GTs and stuff like that. It's very sugary.
Well, the other thing, too, I've heard allegedly is that some companies, and I don't know if this is true or not, but some companies will actually do like their nutritional facts after the first ferment. But then in the second ferment, that's where you add a bunch of sugar into it.
Yeah.
So they'll do the nutritional facts like halfway through, but a lot of the sugar gets added after that. So that never gets captured in the information. And again, that's what I've heard. I don't know. It would make sense to me that somebody would try and potentially do that to be sneaky, but that somebody would want to maybe try and do that. But I mean, it's not good if people are. So yeah,
I'm surprised. I was a few years ago when kombucha popped off. I had this idea in my head that Coca-Cola or Pepsi or something was going to start making their own kombucha, but we never got there. It never happened.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's why, because the process doesn't welcome itself to consistent product.
But yeah, it depends. It takes a long time to sort of get the recipe down. Cause like if you and me, have you ever made it?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause yeah, like if we did the exact same steps, same period of time, same everything, it would taste completely different in both our homes.
Yeah, definitely. So, and the variables like temperature and the water even, right?
Yeah. The bacteria in the air. That's a big one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So you have different bacteria in your house than I do in mine. So that would make, like, you could start with the same tea, the same everything, and it would be very different.
Yeah, kombucha is some interesting shit. I'm not convinced that it's actually good for you, you know?
I used to drink it every day. And I tried to, like, look at the science behind, like, is it actually good for your gut biome and all this stuff? And I couldn't find real definitive, I guess, either way. Like, I couldn't find anything that was negative. I couldn't find anything that was positive. Like in a real definitive way. It seemed to be just in the middle somewhere, and I just know that I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting too. It's like, you know, I'm not a big craft beer guy, to be honest, because I find that it doesn't do what I like beer to do, which is get me drunk and be able to drink like 20 of them or whatever.
Okay.
But I find kombucha in terms of like creative beverage with a flavor you can't get elsewhere, like someone who enjoys an IPA would get, I can get out of kombucha, which I like about it, you know.
I think that with kombucha there's a real, I mean, there's such a wide variety. When somebody says they don't like kombucha, like, to me it's like, okay, well, now let's not just say that, like, that there's that, I mean, that, how much have you tried? Because that really, saying that is, I don't know,
it's, I like guess saying, that's the same as me saying what I just said about craft beer. I can appreciate craft beer, but I really don't want to drink the whole pint, you know.
Yeah, like for me with beer, I like the first sip that I have is like insane, like a cold beer. The very first mouthful I take is just like off the charts. The second one's pretty good, and then it's like a steep decline where I just don't want it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, kombucha's good. There's so much different variety of it that I think that there's probably like there's one out there that probably most people would enjoy.
Yeah.
And like for me, it's this one. And you can certainly, I mean, if you want a sugar one, you can go find some real sugar water. That'll be really good. But there's a whole like range, like in between that. Like another one that does a great job is Unity here in Victoria.
Unity, yeah, I've seen that in coffee shops a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and so like I know with that one, she's really coming at it from a health perspective and trying to put healthy ingredients in and do stuff that is going to invoke some kind of change. Cause she's not doing it. My understanding is from talking with her, like, she's not doing it just to make something that tastes like really good. I mean, it does taste really good, but her first and foremost thing is trying to invoke some positive health changes.
Yeah. That is something I wanted to ask you about, actually, was that something I've been thinking about a lot. So I for a long time, ate like shit and didn't take care of myself, and I classic New Year's resolution, I'm I'm gone ketogenic, which was funny. I listened to your Cookie Guy episode while I was on a walk the other day, and it was funny hearing the Cookie Guy say that he was on a keto diet. Because you know, if that isn't a contradictory, I don't know what is. But yeah, like how do you meet those two things? Because you know, you are going out and like appreciating large volumes of food, most of which is, you know, probably objectively not the best for your health. But what's a good way? What do you recommend, I guess, to develop a good relationship with kind of finding a balance there? If that's like a real question, I think you know what I mean, though.
Well, I just think that's self-awareness. Like a lot of things in life, you have to invoke self-awareness. So if I look at myself, like I'm 6'4", I'm lucky that way that I don't show a lot when I gain weight, I guess. Like I have a lot of lead weight.
I mean, I'm 6'3", and I show when I gain weight, man. So
okay, yeah. So
we're a big family though. I'm the smallest person in my family. You know,
really,
broad shoulders, big people. My brother's 100 pounds heavier than me, same height.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brothers are. I guess my family's tall as well.
Yeah.
Like, how tall is your mom?
My mom is 5'11", 5'10".
Yeah, so she's tall too. That's like my mom. My mom's like 5'10", I think.
I'm the tallest though, that being said. But
okay.
But I'm the smallest also, fit like build wise.
Okay. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it's like self-awareness. I know for myself, like right now in the past year, because I've been since COVID hit, like before COVID, I would work out 4 to 5 times a week. It's like everything else I do, I go hard. If I'm doing it, I'm
going to
like put hard. So like 5 days a week, I would do yoga, and all that kind of stuff and go to the fitness classes at Good Life. And when the pandemic hit, then I just axed all of it. So in the past year, I've gained 25 pounds. So now for like the first time in, I don't know, 8-10 years, like I can actually like grab my stomach and there's actually like a roll there, you know? So it's just, but I'm not okay with that. So I know that like to have a different outcome, I have to change behavior because otherwise there won't be a different outcome. So I just think it's invoking self-awareness of knowing what you have to do. First off, knowing what your threshold is of where you want to be, and then holding yourself, I guess, in a position where you need to sort of try and maintain that as best you can. Obviously there's scenarios where it doesn't work and it's kind of out of someone's control, but if possible, to try and sort of maintain that accepted level for yourself. And for me, that's always been being very slim. So that's kind of like where I like to have myself, and I've kind of fallen out of it now, but it's just a matter of, I can't, like if you saw the way I eat, the past year has been insane. Like I can't do this. I'll get diabetes and all sorts of stuff. It's been bad.
Yeah.
Plus I'm getting older now. Right. So, 40s coming along in the not too far future. So
yeah,
gets easier for sure to gain weight as you get older. But it's just now, like I need to start figuring out some kind of workout. I need to decrease the sugar, decrease the carbs, kind of just get back into the way I was like a year ago, where I would cook, I would eat pretty much the same meal for dinner and lunch for like 4 days a week, all meal prepped. It was gluten-free, just really clean, good stuff. And I just need to get back to that. That would help certainly a lot. But, yeah. So I think it's self-awareness and just seeing what works for you.
Yeah. You're a disciplined guy, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I try to be.
Yeah. You don't talk to a lot of people that have, you know, you have a confidence about it that doesn't bother me too. You know what I mean? Like,
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that's cool.
I'm really big on self-awareness and like self-improvement, and like at the end of the day, like because sometimes I'll do stuff where I'll look at it afterwards and I'll be like, oh, that wasn't cool, I shouldn't have done that. And it's also not feeling badly about it after the fact.
And do you mean that in relationship with food or in general? Yeah.
like in food, I don't need to be eating like a crazy person all the time. Like there's situations where that was kind of uncalled for. I didn't really need to do what I did. And I don't need to go quite that crazy, but just in general in situations, the way I handle things, because it just, I don't know. I feel like it's important to keep improving and never staying the same.
Yeah. Adaptability and openness. I think, yeah, with the Vic Food Guys project, I guess you could call it, right? It's like, it's kind of forced your hand to dig into the heart of this city, right? And that takes a lot of discipline because this is a weird city, man.
I mean, it's just kind of, I feel very strongly that, you know, you gotta help others. Like at the end of the day,
is that ambition of this project? You would say is to help promote people, essentially.
Yeah, to show that there's a lot of people doing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You're doing a really good job. I feel like eventually you're gonna get noticed somehow. It's gonna eventually, you're gonna break out and do all that stuff. But if I have some kind of platform where I can sort of beeline a little bit of that and like help somebody skip some of those steps and have it happen a little bit quicker, then like that's awesome. Because I feel like I don't know. I like to help people. And I feel like it when I have an interaction with someone and I walk away and they walk away, both of us separate and we walk away feeling better than we did going into that interaction. And then we go through the rest of the day and we're both a little bit happier than we would have been. I mean, that might ripple out into the next interactions, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm big on stuff like that. So yeah. I don't even know where I'm going with that, but yeah. Meeting people, showcasing people and just sharing with what people are doing. That's super important. That's why I do this.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, with what I'm doing with this podcast, I don't have a fucking clue yet, but I'm working on it. But it's, you know, I'm always going to learn something. If I talk to a different person every week, like if it's a different person every week, you're going to learn something. And perhaps maybe that's a touch selfish, but might as well broadcast it. You know what I mean?
I don't think that's selfish. That's just, I think that's a fact.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Because when you interact with someone, you might like, sometimes when I interact or I watch somebody, I might be like, oh, I like kind of like the way they do that thing, whatever something is. And then I might start like incorporating it or something.
Yeah.
My latest one is like Dave Portnoy.
Yeah. I like Dave Portnoy. That's Clint's guy, man.
Yeah, I know. So Clint was, I think he was the first guy to tell me about Dave. And so I started watching the One By reviews, and during the lockdown at the start of COVID, he was getting mailed all those packages. And so he would open certain stuff and he gets super stoked and he's just like, fuck right. So he just kept saying that. I've never heard anyone say that before, but yeah. He was like happy and he would just keep saying it. So now like I say that sometimes because I think it's funny.
Yeah. Fuck right.
Yeah. Fuck right. Yeah. Just like getting stoked.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. I picked up excessively calling my friends dogs recently from
from
a podcast. Yeah. But like more like Texan kind of dogs. You know what I mean? Like if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Yeah. I picked up the nasty habit of calling people brother too. I've been told that that's like vaguely inappropriate, but I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of
white supremacist connotation with calling people brother. Apparently I didn't think of that.
I think that there's a lot of different things that are said nowadays that, could potentially have some bad connotations.
Yeah.
And all that stuff is kind of being discussed on all this. Yeah. So,
but I guess like if your intention's good and then you learn that and then it's like, all right, well maybe I'll try to rid brother from my lexicon, you know? Whatever, right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that as long as you, like, if you're doing something you don't know and you don't mean anything by it, and then you learn something and then you modify how you go beyond that.
Well, this is what you were talking about before, right? It's you know, think of it like you always want to be a sponge, but you got to be a critical sponge. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or maybe critical. There's a discerning sponge. You know?
Yeah, I think it's. Well, I mean, it's like for me, I feel very free in the fact that like I'm not too proud to look in the mirror with regards to anything with myself, and like critically look at it. Like, do I like that thing? That's that part of who I am, or do I not like it? And if, or do I like it or no? And if I don't like it, then I need to make steps or take steps to consciously try and get rid of that. Which if we were having this conversation like 14 years ago, I was a radically different person, you know?
What were you like 14 years ago?
Oh, I just like...
On reflection, you know?
One person told me I was the most violent person they'd ever met.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It was weird. Just because I guess I would just talk crazy. I don't know what that was. Just you know, I never did anything violent, but it was just, I guess, my speech and just what I said and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. I think if we're open to it, we can certainly grow a lot over years, you know? Mm-hmm. And like me, I used to be very introverted, like as well. I still am an introvert, but now I'm okay with just like opening up and having a conversation. Doesn't bother me.
It's not, and I don't think of any of that as it's not really a binary, you know what I mean? Like introversion and extroversion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you fall on that scale?
I'm an extrovert.
Okay.
Time. I don't know how to figure out that that's true, but I'm not socially anxious at all, really. I don't know if that means anything, really.
How often do you feel like, I think sort of the classic thing is like, how do you recharge? Do you recharge being around people or being on your own?
Yeah, both.
So like, do you have a tendency that you would lean one way or the other in general?
You know, when I was younger, I definitely liked having people around to recharge, if you will. But as I've gotten older, less so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's one sort of classical way of looking at it.
That's the one I've always heard too. Yeah.
That doesn't paint the whole picture.
No, like, it doesn't.
I would say I'm one third. I can role play as an extrovert, like no problem, like extreme. But then if I do that, it's going to like take so much out of me that the next days I'm going to have to take with quiet time to recover in a way.
Yeah. Do you think that willingness to share about your personalness and not from a place of like even privacy, just like to naturally share, if you will, is a symptom of the binary thought there?
Sorry, I zoned out. Say that again.
It's okay. Like to share. So to be unprompted and to just be like, talk about your problems in your relationship or something with people you don't know that well. Do you think that's a binary of extrovert or introvert? Like the flip side of that example?
I don't know. I don't know what that would be.
I don't either.
I think you could be open to talking about being comfortable to talk with people. I mean, as an introvert, I think at least for myself, I much value like a meaningful conversation, getting to learn meaningful things about somebody and not just like, hey, how you doing? Good. Oh, good. How you doing? Good. You know, that kind of, what's the weather?
I find that draining too. I find small talk to be like emotionally exhausting, honestly.
I really do not enjoy it. So it's funny because one thing I've noticed about myself is people all the time will, you know, they just say, how you doing? And I just say, good, thanks. But I don't reciprocate the question because I don't generally, I just don't do it. Like it's not that I don't care, but in a lot of situations, I kind of like to just get to the, like bypass some of this stuff and get to the actual meaningful part of something.
Yeah. Well, and if you're at like a grocery store and you're just like, listen, there's a lineup, I'm not going to small talk. Like let's just get through this. Let's get through this line one together.
With all this said though, one good thing that I really, really like doing. And again, I think this is because it can create a meaningful connection is asking someone how their day is going. Don't like, not just saying, how you doing? Cause that's in people that say good or whatever. But I find if you ask someone like, how's your day going? There seems to be a very strong reaction in general from people where they'll actually offer up something that happened that day that was meaningful to them. And that could be the jump off of a conversation or however far you want to go with it. But that just that one little tiny change of wording And then you're getting something meaningful, so it's cool.
Yeah, I like how, you know, I never thought about that, because when I'm asked, how's your day going, I give someone a real answer.
Yeah.
I'm not, but when someone says, how's it going, I actually developed this habit, and I don't know where I got it from, but it's what you said, we were talking about earlier with the sponge thing. I developed the habit when someone says, how's it going, is I always kind of exaggeratedly say, I am doing wonderful, or something like that, you know?
Okay.
Just because it's like, I'm not just going to say good. I'm going to take advantage of it and have a laugh to myself or whatever. I do it almost every time. I'm like, excellent. I am excellent today or something.
Do you have a strong response?
do I get a strong response?
Have a strong response when someone asks you.
Yeah.
You have a strong response back.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah, life's too boring. Life's too boring to go autopilot conversationally, man.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they asking someone how their day's going, it just the amount of times I've said that to someone and they, like, even if they don't smile with their mouth, their eyes have some sort of smile going on, and they engage meaningfully, not just autopilot.
Yeah, you cut through the plane, if you will, right?
Yeah, that's somehow like an unlock to like get past that sort of I don't know if it's just like, yeah, this autopilot mechanism that sort of in front of not everyone, but people, you know what I mean? Like, this is autopilot we sort of have going on, or at least for myself. And it kind of gets behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These cool. are good things. This is what I wanted to talk about genuinely, because it's like, I want to get better at interviewing people in my own style that we're doing right now. But you know, that all ties into that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No doing, doubt. Trying to lead a conversation is not an easy thing.
No, it's not. It, yeah, they've all been good so far, but they've gotten close to awkward a couple times for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just fizzling out. But I felt like I didn't get to where I wanted to get. You know what I mean?
Well, I think part of that too, though, is, yeah. I mean, it can certainly be easier if you have someone you're talking to that doesn't offer like short responses. Like a short response, asking someone a question and getting yes. Like yes, truncate. Yeah. Like that being a reply, that gets super hard and very tiring after a while to try and like almost like extract an answer and information from somebody.
Yeah. That's why when I do these, I never write down questions. Because I don't want to, as the binary I was mentioning before, I don't want to get yes or no from people. I never write down questions. I just write down notes, if you will. So like with you, I wrote down Cookie Monster, relationship with food, Vic's food scene defined, chef ? Late night snacks, like shit like that, you know what I mean?
We haven't fully touched on a couple of those.
No, we're going to though. We're gonna get okay. There.
So yeah, so like the way I operate with my thing is I would love to be able to just my ego wants to be like, you don't have to write anything down, just go and wing it. But I also know that I don't think that would end very well, because if something does sort of get slow, I need to have something to fall back on so I can continue.
Exactly. Yeah. And I try to rely on what I call research. So I generally, like, knowing I was going to talk to you, you know, I watched some Chef's Table. I listened to your podcast off and on throughout the last 2 weeks, and et cetera, right? Just to get.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Cause it's the only way to do it. Like I've watched a lot of, cause I've interviewed a lot of musicians. That's my kind of go-to, you know?
Okay.
None of them are that famous. I've interviewed only like one, like really famous person, but you find interviews with them and stuff. And I find a lot of it is like, man, like you're not getting anywhere with this. You're not talking to these people like they're people, cause they're still people.
Yeah.
Under the artistry. So it's like, how long did it take you to record your album? You know, I don't fucking care how long it took you to record your album unless there's a real story there. So you gotta find, you know, try and find that out first, and like find out what this person said a million times already. Try to skip that, cut to the meat, you know?
Okay.
That's important to me.
I mean, if somebody gets interviewed a lot, I think that they would appreciate having a unique take on stuff, and maybe they don't have to repeat everything they've said a lot of times.
Yeah.
Having a unique question, like, and getting somebody to actively engage and not do like an autopilot response.
Yeah. One guy I talked to was this 60-year-old guy. He's been a musician his whole life. Pretty famous guy. I'm not going to name drop because that's lame. But, like, I found everything I possibly could to avoid that because he's a kind of a grumpy punk, you know? And I was like, oh, I'm going to get on his good side. I swear to fucking God, his good side. I did.
So he had a good time.
He had a good time. Yeah, I took 10 pages of notes, but I got him.
So you have those 10 pages of notes sitting in front of you?
Yeah, I got one book. One book that I use for all my guests right here. Yeah.
Oh, I like it, handwritten and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So but did you have like 10 pages of shit in front of you when you were talking to him?
Yes.
And were you going through it as you're talking to him?
Nope.
Okay.
The crutch, you know?
Oh, so if you needed it, it was there.
If I needed it, it was there. Yeah. Well, and I had like subjects because he's a very prolific musician. There's a lot to cover. And I was like, I'm going to try and get here. But I let him just talk. And it was really good. It was really cool.
There's a good way. One sort of thing I think about having the conversations and being good at conversations is to be like a good motto is to be more interested than being interesting. Like being more interested in the other person than being interested or interesting yourself. I think yeah. I screwed that. But it's be more interested than interesting.
Yes, I agree.
The more you can get somebody else to talk about themselves, then the easier it is, I think.
Yeah. I think you do. There is, if you forfeit a bit of yourself to another person and you do a little bit of that and you see it click, you're going to get somewhere quicker though. Like I'm always very willing to make the conversation about myself a little bit. Just if I'm not getting anywhere, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, well, here's a little bit about me. You can trust me. You know what I mean?
So you offer up something that might be that like a vulnerable thing on some level or
I'm like, okay, let's get here. This is me. This is you. Let's find what this is as fast as possible.
It's hard too. Like my podcast is on hold right now because I, you know, with this, the social restrictions right now, I can't go and do them in person and I can't do that. So, yeah, it sucks. Cause I want to keep doing them. I miss them. I've done 25 or 26 episodes, I think, but, I want to do them in person, but I find like over Zoom or like doing it like this, yeah. I can't. Same energy because we're not in the same room.
Yeah, you don't get the same energy. The slight delay, no matter what you do, the slight delay really fucks things up, I actually find.
It's really easy to talk over somebody on here.
Yes. I do it by accident all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be really bad about that. Like when Mike and I were interviewing somebody, he would get so mad at me all the time because I would just talk. He would start saying something and then I guess subconsciously I would be like, okay, let me finish this for you. You just step away. And I would just start talking and I would take off and he would just give up because I wouldn't stop. So that was one thing I had to work on. I had to get rid of that.
Yeah. I mean, but you're on your own now, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
The interview. So.
Yeah. I mean, everything.
Still cut off your guests, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Don't do that. Like another thing I've learned is a thing I try and do because I've heard people talk about this is when you're like talking to somebody, don't always like don't finish their sentences. Don't do that. But also don't always be like yeah or K or verbal cues because that subconsciously allegedly can like sort of hurry people up and just basically just allow someone to sort of just say their piece. Let them get their full thoughts out. And then when they're done, then like say what you're going to say.
Yeah. I have a bad habit of doing both those things in my opinion, but.
No, you're good at this. You seem to be good. I haven't noticed you being like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or any of that kind of stuff. Right. You just been silent and just, you let me say something and then you respond.
Yeah. Well, I just you got to put everything away and I'm a nasty scroller. I've gotten a bad habit of being my brother gives, I live with my brother he gives me a hard time about not listening a lot. And if I'm doing this is my moment where I'm like, okay, let's let the brain loose. Let's be present. You know?
So by scrolling,
I mean Instagram and et cetera.
like, is your attention span, like, it's got to get you in like 2 seconds, a millisecond or something?
Yeah, it's got to get me quick. Yeah, it's like I'm very conscious of it, except when I'm not, you know. But
okay, because my scroll game on like sort of skimming a video, my game on that is amazing. I would consider it like incredible. Like I can skim like a 5 minute video in like 3 seconds and be like, am I investing this time or not? I already have an answer.
Yeah,
and it's so weird that I can, like, I don't like the fact that I do this.
Yeah, I think I'm a good multitasker. That being said, but I'm not.
I'm horrible at multitasking. I can't do it. I try to be like you and me are talking right now, so nothing else exists. This is all that's happening right now. I can't do it any other way. It doesn't work. I'll start screwing things up.
I find beverages and nicotine, like I'm super vaping like crazy, helps me stay centered. I have like 4 bubblies ready.
I might just stay, you know. So you got them all right.
Yeah.
Another thing too, actually with conversation is headphones. Headphones make a huge difference. Like I should be wearing headphones right now.
I think that's a personal thing. I don't like the headphones.
Why?
I don't like it. Ah, doesn't feel like you're really there. Too much like playing a video game, listening to a podcast. I feel like you're not really there. I struggle with that, you know?
And I will admit,
in the room, I want you in the room. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, in person, it makes a big difference. I don't know about doing it over Zoom.
Okay. Yeah. In person with the headphones, when you're doing
and I've had people, I think that didn't, when I did my podcast with them, they weren't super keen on wearing headphones. Every single person that after the fact has been like, wow, that really, like, it was like nothing else existed because we could hear each other. Like we could hear ourselves and the other person in our ears. And it's like nothing else legitimately exists. It really brings you in more.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, I think with something as abstract, so I cut you off. There you go. Keep going.
No, I'm just saying that this could be a different experience with headphones doing it over the internet.
Yeah. And I find, cause in real life, you're probably right. I just haven't done any yet. You know, I'd like to. I don't know how. I don't really have the space for it yet, but we'll see. But
yeah, what's your equipment? Because you like your audio sounds very good, at least over the phone here.
I got it. I make music. That's my like big thing. So I got all the good stuff for that. I know what I'm doing in that regards.
Okay.
I just have a mic. This is an SM. It's an SM58, but not an SM58. That's what this microphone is.
Another brand. What model number? Oh, okay.
It's called S. It's an SE70, I think is what it is.
Oh, because when I was researching for my podcast, I was looking into all different microphones. So like the SM58 is that's, I had one of those and I was going to use it. And then I ended up not using it.
Yeah. Cause I mean, my favorite mic ever.
I mean that the SM58 is like, that thing's a monster, right? It's been around for like, sent or not for decades.
Yeah,
been around forever.
It's
and
the go-to for everything instruments, yeah. Radio, fucking singing, like I like a handheld mic. I like being able to hold it, even though I just got this arm. But
yeah, which is that the Rode,
the arm?
Yeah
it is. Yeah,
okay. Well, that's like the NS something arm.
Yeah, I just got it on Amazon, man. I didn't really think about it too much, but
okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah. There's the Rode arm, and then there's the there's another one. They're both like $150 or $130 or something.
I got this a bit cheap. I think it was Boxing Day or something. No, it was before that, but I got it pretty cheap. It was cheaper than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the other one's made blue, like, you know, the Blue Yeti microphones.
Yeah, those are apparently not actually that good.
That's okay.
I've heard to avoid them.
Yeah, I think the Rode was the one I wanted, or is the PSA one, or I forget what the model number was. I wanted to get one of those arms, but now I just have a Amazon, one of the sellers on Amazon had a cheap sort of like knockoff version for like $40. So yeah. I've got one of those with a Snowball microphone over there.
Okay, that the Snowball, yeah.
The like the non-ice version, the Snowball ice version is not good.
Okay.
But just the regular Snowball is pretty good.
Yeah, I was looking into what NPR uses. I kind of wanted that because I have that voice, you know, the kind of low voice. I was like, I want the NPR mic, but they're out of my price point. And don't make that much of a difference when you know how to edit audio. I don't edit the audio for the podcast unless it ends up really fucking bad for whatever reason. But I was like, this is fine.
I feel like with Zoom, though, there's not really – you can't edit it, really.
It's a nightmare. I've had to do it for some people. I've had to edit the videos because there's one where I interviewed this girl and she said where her parents lived and she didn't want people to know that for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it just it sucked. I didn't like editing a Zoom call. Something about that felt wrong, man.
Well, the Zoom by itself, like it already cuts out background noise.
Yeah.
Like you can hear the boiler from the building or whatever. And like that's not going to be showing up on here. Zoom is going to cut that out. So like that's one of the challenges with mine is because I'm on site with people. Like when I, for example,
What I want to avoid. Any step I can get rid of that, any of that shit, any of the less that I have to do, the better.
Yeah. You need a dedicated room then. But like being with Dan, the 49 Below Ice Cream, like he's got in his little commercial kitchen area in his garage, he's got like a massive cooler that was literally like, it was like this, it was kind of like that close beside us. Like this massive thing. But the problem with it is that it's not a constant hum. It goes through cycles. So it'll be really loud, then like 75%, then a quarter, then it shuts off, and then it does all this. So when I'm going after the fact in Audacity and Reaper, and I'm trying to edit this thing, I have to like make a whole bunch of different cuts. I can't just do like a remove out, apply to the whole thing. Because each part sounds different in the background, so like that was horrible. The one that I did at Nowhere with Clark and Devin.
I meant to listen to that one. I've never been to Nowhere. I'm very curious about that. I've heard
this. If you're for a night meal, that's the spot. Either go there. It depends. It depends. They have different personalities at the two places. Either place though, for me, it's like the spot where I would go if I had a choice. That's where I'm going. But when we did there, the guy was power washing outside of, like, we were sitting at the front of Nowhere where the window's like right here. And there's a guy that started power washing in the courtyard, like 20 minutes into it for like the hour. So there's a power washer going and he's literally spraying at one point the window that was directly beside us, like 3 feet from the microphone. He's actually hitting that with like a huge jet stream of water. Like that was awful to try and edit.
That sucks. That's what I like these mics, like an SM58 or whatever this is. They're like performance mics, right? So as long as I'm talking right into it, that's all you're going to hear. If like, you know, let's try that. Like if I fucking, I'm flicking a can as hard as I can, you can barely hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's got that side drops off.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I like about these.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I have the pod mics and they seem to work pretty well.
They're much fuller than what I have. Like in a call, us talking like this, it's fine. But if you were to listen to it with your headphones, walking like a normal podcast listener would, my shit's pretty lo-fi. It's pretty lo-fi in the end, you know?
Really? Because it sounds great right now.
Yeah, dude, Zoom, you'd think it doesn't shoot out as high quality as it sounds right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But it's so convenient. I will get the video and audio right out. When I close this meeting, it exports it. I have a folder that's all organized, ready for it. Boom. Yeah. That's it. I drag that right into my podcast app and that's it.
My question about that is that like, so when I, the very first episode I did do one over Zoom. Well, I've done two technically, but the one that was on purpose, the first one was with Chelsea, who owns Sydney Scones. And so when I did that, I didn't actually even use the Zoom recording at all. I just used, I think, Camtasia to record the stuff myself, and the quality was better recording my screen and like having it record rather than Zoom. So I don't even, I did record it on Zoom as a backup, which I'm glad I did because I ended up stopping the Camtasia. And then we started talking again after the fact. So I got that extra footage, but I found the Camtasia footage of just recording the screen was clearer and better.
With both the video and the audio? Did you find the audio was better?
Yeah.
Camtasia. I'm gonna write that down.
Well, I mean, it's just screen recording software. That's what you need.
I have OBS, but my computer's not doesn't like it. doesn't like any of these. Can't, any screen recording I've ever gotten, my computer gets pissed at me, man. Yeah.
Is it just lag and not function?
I think that it's because if I'm screen recording something, I have my interface here plugged in. And that takes a bit of my CPU or whatever.
How old is your computer?
My computer is a Lenovo IdeaPad 320, and I bought it 3 years ago. So it's probably, I think it's a 5-year-old model though.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that model. Okay.
It was $450 new. So keep that in mind.
So yeah, so this is going to be a limitation of performance. So yeah, you probably wouldn't want to go down that road and do that. Like literally, like I was saying earlier, I think before we started, like I built my PC in February last year, like as COVID is being talked about and really starting to take off in middle of November, I'm literally plugging my stuff in. And it's like, thankfully there was no problems, because had a part been like DOA, it would have been an issue. But I was putting it together as like the pandemic hit basically here. Which, as I was saying, was good because the prices skyrocketed on everything shortly after. Because
I looked, you better believe I looked into putting together a computer once the CERB money started kicking in.
Yeah, it's I wasn't planning on making a PC, but I got a really good deal on an AMD CPU. As soon as I got that deal, it was like an R9. Or an RX9 or whatever it is, I forget. But it's like the 3900X. It's the R9 3900X, I think. And I got it from Grand and Toy, and they sold it for like $340. Which, that CPU, I think, is like, at the time, was $700.
Yeah, that's a great deal.
And even now, like, so are you familiar with CPUs?
Vaguely, yeah. That's my partner's world more than me, but...
Okay, so like, yeah, like the R9... The R9, like you can't find anywhere near $340. And I ordered it expecting not to receive it. And lo and behold, they shipped it to me and I got it. And I'm like, oh, I got the CPU with nothing else, like no other parts. So then I just went ahead and dove in and put the thing together, which is fun. It's fun to put a computer together.
Yeah, it sounds fun, except, you know, I struggle with IKEA furniture, you know? So.
Oh.
Like, yeah, see how that would go.
Yeah, we just they had a deal where you could get stuff shipped for free over $400, I think on Boxing Day. But we got a couple new dressers and stuff, and that takes a long time to put together.
Yeah, it's stress. Like, my bed frame, it was IKEA, and like that, I have fucking almost tore my hair out, man.
Really?
Yeah, it just took away. I mean, like I didn't have anywhere to sleep otherwise, so I had to do it, and I started at 10 p.m.
Oh, you don't, dude? What are you doing?
Yeah,
you don't start at 10. So what happened to what you were sleeping on?
Oh, I just moved in.
Oh, okay. So you moved in. It's moving day. You got a brand new bed frame.
It wasn't moving day. I think I had. Where did I sleep? I slept on my brother's couch or something. I don't remember.
Okay, but you had a mattress.
I had a mattress.
Oh, I just throw it on the floor.
Yeah, I used to do that, man. I used to sleep on a twin mattress on the floor for about 4 years in my late teens, early 20s.
Okay.
It was so bad. I was so bad. I was just drunk all the time, sleeping on the floor, covered in laundry.
Covered in laundry.
Yeah, covered in dirty laundry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like mine, I don't even have I just got one of those the slat things. I don't have a box spring. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever get a box spring again. So I just didn't like something about it.
Yeah. I don't even know what this is. It's just a bed. I don't know.
We got a mattress. Do you have a box spring?
What's a box spring?
Well, it's like the second piece. Like you got your mattress and then there's a box spring underneath that would like elevate it up. It's two pieces.
No, I don't have a box spring.
Okay. So you just have like a base and then a mattress.
Yes.
Like a wooden base or something, and then a mattress sitting directly on that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. How do you find the base? Are the IKEA ones good? Because I've heard some bad things about them.
If I was about 100 pounds heavier, this thing would fall apart, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it loud?
Yes, very loud.
So it squeaks.
It squeaks, yeah. And it's like, oh, man, my room is pretty small too, man. And I had to, so I couldn't take it out of this room. I had to build it in the room. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, I'll probably end up moving. Like, I move all the time, so we'll see how that goes.
Can't move now, though.
Yeah, I'm stuck. Could be worse. I'm in Fairfield. It's pretty good.
So you're, do you ever go to the Hive?
I haven't been to the Hive. I wanted to go to the Hive, and I was planning on going to the Hive, and then I've gone ketogenic, so I can't go to the Hive.
Okay.
For the time being.
That's right.
You're a big hype man of the Hive. That's what made me want to go.
Yeah, the Hive's amazing. You want a good burger, that's the spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, the keto thing. So you started that at the end of last month or the beginning?
I started on the second. Yeah, I stopped drinking on the first and I started keto on the second.
So how's that been going for you?
It's going okay. Yeah. I was drinking way too much, man. And I was just sick of it. The main thing was lethargy. I was sick of getting tired at 4 p.m. I'm 25 years old and I was getting sleepy at 4 p.m. That's fucking horseshit. That's not good.
That's not good.
Yeah. So, and I've done stuff like this before. I'm an extreme guy like yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what I am.
Yeah.
Trust me, I do stuff all the time that's like extreme. It just, I don't know, it's how I operate.
Yeah, me too. Obsessive and extreme. And yeah, like I've done vegan. I did paleo when that was popular. I'm 230 some odd pounds now. I've been down to like 150 something at one point, which was crazy. I was a teenager, that being said, but I was over 200 pounds before that. So,
okay. That's a big shift.
Yeah. There's a bit of amphetamines or Adderall involved in that process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I think right now I'm like 235, I think.
Yeah.
But
I'm about the same. Still,
yeah. It's I don't know. It's I don't know. It's a new year. Try new things. But like, so for you, like with the keto, how much education have you done as far as keto? Like before you went into it, did you plan this?
I did not plan it, but my mom has been doing it off and on for a year.
Okay.
And she found great results. So I was at work when I decided to do it at the butcher shop at the time. And I just texted her and I said, what can you tell me about keto? And then she's like, just told me all this shit, and she's my resource. And that combined with like about 2.5 hours of r/keto on Reddit.
And yeah. Then
whenever I want to eat something, I just triple check on the internet.
Oh, you can see it. So you don't have any of the test strips then?
I do have test strips. Yeah.
I mean, you can get those hydrogenous ketones too, where if you like, that's a weird thing too. The fact that you could eat cake, like spike your blood sugar, all that stuff. But then you can have the hydrogenous ketones, I think they're called, put yourself back into ketosis while you're spiking your blood sugar. Like that could never naturally happen. So I think it's very strange that like human beings could put themselves in a state like that.
Yes. I don't know if we're supposed to. I'm not sold
I don't know.
This being sustainable. I'm not planning on it being sustainable, but I knew that I needed to do something extreme to get into a healthier place. I knew that just being like, oh, change a couple things, you know, less pizza, like fuck, no, I gotta go all in. I have to go all in. It's not gonna work. Okay.
So do you feel like you were like way too far this way, now you overcorrected way too far this way, yeah, and then sort of even out somewhere in the middle?
I'm hoping to even out somewhere in the middle. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I need to not drink for a long time. That's the big one. I think I need to avoid the booze.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been a big drinker. I think that as I've gotten older, and certainly like with the food, getting to know so many people, that alcohol can be a really good tool for enjoying food, like the pairing.
Oh, hell yeah.
It makes this immeasurable difference. Some dishes that you could have, like there was one dish that I had at Nowhere where they had made, they made pasta, but it was made from squid.
So, oh yeah, that sounds so good.
Yeah, it was incredible. So this pasta was completely, I think, just made from squid. Without the alcohol pairing of that course, it had a pretty fishy taste to it. But my memory wants to tell me that like once you had the alcohol with it, it went like to another stratosphere, and it was like buttery, and it was completely different.
Yeah, man.
Like it was insane the what that was it
paired with.
I don't remember.
Okay. My head goes white wine with fish, but
yeah, I think it was probably that's probably correct.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about going to like Nora and Hank's is that like their menus, the tasting menus and stuff change so frequently.
Yeah.
And they always have like amazing pairings and it's always crazy stuff that it's just an adventure every time.
Yeah, I got to go there. I haven't done it. Yeah, I was always kind of intimidated a little bit. I know where I don't even know where it is. But
yeah, it's like if you know where Hank's is, yeah. Nowhere courtyard, like if Douglas G was in front of me and I'm at Hank's, it'd be like behind me in the courtyard.
Oh, that's where it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. Like, I've never walked into that courtyard except to smoke cigarettes when I was in high school.
Yeah, so it's in that courtyard.
Damn, okay. Okay.
Like the back door of Hank's, you can walk from the back door of Hank's to nowhere. It's like 100 feet or something.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah. It's right there. I don't know how you describe them. Like Hank's is like, Hank's is kind of like being in a bar fight.
Yeah. Like I've heard it's intense that the service can be a bit intense there sometimes.
No.
No. Okay.
I don't think so. Like last week when I was there, I'm really happy they've been really busy, but for whatever reason, I don't know if I jinxed them, but the night I went in, my thing was at 5:30 and there wasn't another booking until like 7:45 or 8:00. And it's one other table of two people. So for the first 2.5 hours, it was just me and Clark and Rylan. Clark owns it. Rylan's, one of the chefs there. And, so it was just the three of us. And it was just like, there was no pressure. It was so fun.
Yeah. I love that.
Explain to you what, like the stuff you get on your plate, like it's going to be crazy stuff. Like that prosciutto they had that night was, I've never had prosciutto like that ever. And, just all the ingredients that go into everything, they explain everything. So if you have an appreciation for, if you're doing a tasting menu with small plates, some of them aren't really that small though. But if you have an appreciation for that kind of situation, then it's just like, you're just like, you can't wait to see what the next plate is going to be.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I did it at Wind Cries Mary.
Okay.
With my girlfriend. And that was a great date night. I tell you what.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I really, before all this food stuff, I didn't have an appreciation for anything like that. I would not have enjoyed going to like a tasting menu dinner. It wouldn't have flown. But now I love it. It's like one of my favorite things. Because I really take into the fact that I don't need like a huge amount of something. I could have a little thing that like the first bite is always insane. Like cheesecake. Like the first bite of cheesecake is like off the charts. Like this, just craziness. The next one like takes a step down. It's kind of like the beer I was saying earlier.
Beer, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's just like, well, now it just, for myself, it becomes to be like, it's just like, it's like insane. Drops off, then everything else is just kind of like flat lines. So like what I try and do with like cheesecake is I'll take a couple bites, like blow my world apart, take a 5-minute break, and then I let it like amp back up, and then like up here, down here.
So. Yeah, I love the tasting menu, man. I love the ever-changing menu concept. Is it takes a lot of audacity and skill to pull it off, but it's something I think it's the coolest thing ever. You know, you have your staples, but that's what Part and Parcel does and did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever go there? Did you ever go to Part and Parcel?
You commented on my post the other day.
Oh,
the sandwich.
Right. Yeah, I did.
So I haven't been there in quite a while before I got those sandwiches. I really enjoyed them though. There was the fried chicken sandwich and the pork katsu sandwich. I think for me, that's why the pork more, but they're both very good.
Yeah. It's gone through a couple chefs since the pandemic. So there's that. But it's still great. So I don't know.
Yeah. So the one thing about Part and Parcel, when we were doing our radio segments and like, you know, we did 100 of them, each segment was talking to a different restaurant owner or chef or whatever. And then Part and Parcel, I think Part and Parcel and Relish were the two places that got mentioned the most about like, where would you go and eat when we asked a chef? Those are the two places that got mentioned the most for sure.
100%. Chefs love part and parcel. We like that. I learned that from working there. It's like my boss slash the chef at the time would always be like, "Hey, that's the chef from there," you know, or "That's the chef from there."
Yeah, exactly. So that those are the two places. And I mean, Relish doesn't exist anymore. Unfortunately, Jamie closed that down. So just part and parcel now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like it's only doing takeout. And it's like with, you can't do a lot of the part and parcel stuff takeout the same way you can on a plate.
No, like I had a squid dish there that was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to taste really good, but I think they.
But that was dine in when I had that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. The squid dish. There's many variations on the squid dish. It's very,
yeah.
Yeah. I like that dish a lot. It's very creative.
But that was dine in. So I think that when I looked at their menu right now, it's all like sandwiches.
Yeah. That's a good call on their part, I think.
Yeah.
For takeout and stuff. That's my buddy. My buddy's the chef now. So
yeah. Okay.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, I know. So like part and parcel, I've never been disappointed going there. I think that I don't get there very often because there's so many places to visit.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the place that I would go to the most by far, I don't even need to say it for people that know me, but it's Wrap and Roll.
Yeah. Hell like, yeah, man. Yeah. I love that you champion Wrap and Roll. Me and my brother are big champions of the Wrap and Roll. I have been for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's such going to Wrap, and they're not open right now, obviously.
They're opening a new location, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I
do like a kind of grocery thing with it. Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay. That's what I've heard. Maybe that's not public information. I don't know, but
I don't know what the plan is now. Cause I haven't talked to Mo in a little bit, probably in a month, but, they are going to be reopening. There is, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll just have to see, but I'm hoping that it's going to be in the next few months for sure. And then it's going to be, they're going to be better than ever.
Yeah.
Like Wrap is a very special place. Like a lot. Yeah. And I think people discovered it when they did that Beirut fundraiser.
Yeah. That blew up, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I went in that Wednesday night and Mo was like, we're going to do a fundraiser this Saturday, like in a couple days. So I helped him get like some kind of poster kind of ready on the computer in the back. And then, you know, 3 days later they made, I think it was 4,000 pieces of falafel or something.
Jesus. Yeah.
I think they did 800 sandwiches. I forget what the number was. It was some like this insane amount. And they raised over the course of the next 2 weeks, they raised, I think it was like 22 grand.
Yeah. It was something like that. I think. Yeah.
Which, that whole situation is just incredible. And seeing where the money went and the people being positively impacted from it, like directly seeing the people being impacted. And it just, it made such a world of difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Wrap and Roll opens up back up for anybody in Victoria, I would highly recommend they go. It's very special. And for me personally, because I know them so well now, like I'm basically a part of their family. Essentially, like,
yeah.
Not this Christmas, but the Christmas before in 2019, I was there on Christmas Eve, and they're like, "Where are you going tonight?" I didn't have anywhere, so I had Christmas Eve dinner at their house.
That's awesome, so, man.
Yeah, the full Lebanese spread with this insanely good turkey,
yeah.
And it was just the whole situation was like, I couldn't have been happier.
It is such good food, too, man. Straight up.
Yeah, the stuff they do, you can't top in the city, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And a lot of the
falafel's so hard to get right for some for white people, I guess it seems like, man. Like,
it's
so much bad falafel in my life.
Yeah, I think falafel is something that is definitely, if you do it properly, it's incredible. If you do it wrong, you really don't want to eat it. Kind of like
don't want to eat it.
Like eggplant, if you screw up eggplant, it's just a mess. It's a rubbery, disgusting shit.
Yeah.
But if you do it properly, it's amazing. But yeah, their falafel, it's so good. And of course, I see what they do in the back when they make it. So it's really interesting to see. They make it look so easy. Like Mo's, his tomb, his garlic sauce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we go like, crazy for that shit, man.
That garlic sauce is like out of this world. If you like garlic, you have to have it. Garlic doesn't do well with me. My stomach gets upset. But like, I mean, I made myself have stomach pains or whatever from it because it's so good. Just, I don't know. Just deal with it after.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so deal.
Ace, but that
FODMAP thing or whatever, right? Is that what that is? You know about that?
I've heard about that. It's actually his garlic sauce for some reason doesn't really do it. But I ate garlic. The when I discovered this was an issue is when I had a pizza at a different place up island. And I've never had my stomach react to anything like it did that night. It was one of the worst nights of my life. Like, it was the worst. I think, I don't know if you could make a place, a room, like that bedroom, smell worse than it did that. It was awful. Absolutely horrible. I just got to get some water here. My throat's getting dry. But yeah, like that was an awful night. That's when I learned garlic does not agree with me.
Now you know.
Yeah, now I know. I've never experienced anything like that. That was horrific.
Cool. I think we're going to end this conversation. Actually, you know what? I wanted to ask you about snacks. Let's do that like fun little thing at the end. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we got Cookie Monster. Do you have a time limit for things?
No, I talk as long as I want.
Okay.
Yeah. So like what's your you've had a couple beers, you're in Circle K now, Max, in the past 7-Eleven, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right. I'm gonna get three candy bars, different candy bars. And by candy bars I mean chocolate bars, basically. What are you grabbing? And they're all there. All the shit that you can imagine is there.
Okay, Flake Bar, one.
What was the first one?
Flake.
Flake?
Yeah, number one.
I don't know that one.
Cadbury Flake Bar from this pink. It's a yellow wrapper with purple writing. So Cadbury Flake. It's kind of like the closest I could kind of like compare the texture to, even though it doesn't look like it, would be like an Aero Bar kind of.
I've had these before now that I Google them.
Yeah. Cadbury Flake. And then Coffee Crisp.
Good choice.
Those two for sure. The third one would be depend on the day. It could be Mr. Big. It could be Kit Kat. That's a wild card. Like you gotta see where I'm at that day. Yeah.
I'm not crazy about the Kit Kat. Gotta be honest. I'll eat them, but I'm not crazy about them.
I didn't used to be. It's those little Halloween packs that those little Halloween like boxes that you can buy, the mini ones.
Yeah, hell yeah. Oh, I bought because I knew COVID and shit. I was like, oh, these are gonna stay cheap and not sell as well. I bought a bunch of them and froze them, and had a good time with it.
That's a move. Yeah, like a not last Halloween, but the one before. I think I bought like, because they come in like the 60 pack, right? Of like the variety. And I bought three of them and they were gone within like 4 days. I crushed like 180 chocolate bars. And that's when I learned that I don't mind Kit Kats.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm a Bounty Bar. That's where I stand on my number one. I'm a Bounty Bar guy. Yeah, fuck. It's so good.
Okay. I respect that.
Not for everybody, but it's like.
Really good though. That could be my number three on a certain day.
Yeah.
That's in play. That's somewhere in play. But the Flake and the Coffee Crisp for me, those are in the top two. I don't know what order, but they're there.
I do like a Mr. Big, though. I'm big on the Mr. Big. What's the Sponge Toffee Crunchy Bar? Crunchy Bar is my number two.
Okay, so you like Crunchy Bars? House Sausage. Do you know House?
Yeah.
Yeah, they made their own Crunchy Bars.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
But they're way bigger. And they've got bacon infused into them.
Yeah, that sounds like goofy, but good.
They actually, I have a photo all prepared to post of that. But it's it looks like a Crunchy Bar, just a lot bigger. And like the last one they made had Mile Zero coffee in it, along with like bacon infused into the whole thing.
That sounds pretty good. House Sausage.
So they don't always have that, but they've done it twice now.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, because you could make those way better. Like, just like nobody's making sponge toffee in Victoria, you know?
Yeah, no.
That shit's
I
so
think
good.
There's, I think with theirs, it's sort of, I think it's a caramel. So it's not quite sponge toffee.
You can kind of trick the senses into getting close to the that with caramel, though, I think.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the same ballpark. It just I just know they're really good.
Yeah, and then maybe Crispy Crunch. That's my third. Crispy Crunch.
No. Yeah, I know. I don't think, for me, no.
Okay.
So what is it? Do you like the texture, or what is it about
that?
Yes,
I like the texture. I find it gratifying.
Those things are really like thin, or not very tall, right? They're short.
Yeah, exactly.
But you get that satisfying, you just get that hard crunch.
I love it. Yeah.
You just like, you know, you're breaking some shit when you're crunching through that. You're breaking that bar. Like you're just decimating, like a jackhammer going through concrete.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's in my head, they're an adult bar. In my head, and I'm like, I'm an adult. I'm having an adult candy bar.
Really?
I don't know why. Yeah.
So no,
I think the same thing with Score bars too. I'm like, this is adult. This is an adult bar.
Ooh, I forgot about Score.
Score is really good. Frozen Score bar, fucking.
Score fucks. Those are good too.
Yeah.
See, Score's in the number three somewhere too.
Yeah, Score's those like, they're. I mean, Crispy Crunch is the same, but I like them more. But like, Score's are kind of small. You know. You're not gonna get satiated the way you are with like a Bounty's. Like got some life to it, you know. Mr. Big obviously does. Coffee Crisp's got some life to it.
Yeah, I just recently found out about the Penguin chocolate bars that they have in the UK. They're called Penguin, and they're really good.
Penguin chocolate. I probably got that at Fairways in the British.
Yeah, exactly. Chocolate bars. Got them. Yeah, I just found out about that. Found out about this thing my girlfriend wanted. Called Monster Munch.
Okay.
Which is like I think they're crisps, but it's pickled onion flavor. And allegedly like just lights out. I bought some McCoy. Yeah, they're right there. They're called McCoy. It's like a pack of three different flavors. Over in the thing over there. I haven't opened them yet to know what's going on. But I did at 7-Eleven recently, I did get some I think some crab flavored chips or something from Asia.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Those were phenomenal.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah, I don't even know what they're called, but it's been a long time.
I couldn't believe that, like, it tasted just like, I think it was crab. It tasted so much like it, and not in a bad way. I'm not like, this is an imitation, shitty attempt to taste like that. I'm like, this actually tastes like it, and I'm not, like, I'm okay with it. I'm not upset with it. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I've been eating a lot of pork rinds recently because that's key. They're keto if you get the right brand.
Oh, yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I was going to say my buddy, but Mike, the other food guy, he's always big on Atkins diet.
Classic, yeah.
Pork rinds and Caesar dressing and like cheese.
Yeah.
He was kind of actually
too crazy on that, but.
No, yeah. Yeah, that'd be like a meal. He legitimately get pork rinds. Like we were at Walmart one time, and I think that he bought Caesar dressing and like sausages or something. And that was his meal. Another time he just got a big huge box or a bag of pork rinds.
Yeah. That's not good. I just been eating a lot of eggs, man. I don't know. It's like eggs and tuna.
Really?
Yeah.
So what can you mix with it?
I just put a little bit of mayo and some salad. Throw on a salad.
Okay, so what's in the salad then? Is it just lettuce?
Yeah, spring mix. You know,
okay.
You know the classic box you get a spring mix or spinach. Yeah. I'll go buy the Popeyes brand spinach and toss a little bit of that in there too.
So how much, like before you did this, like last month, how much sugar were you having and carbs?
I just eat whatever the fuck I wanted anytime. Didn't matter, anything. And I'd eat out a lot, anything, all the time.
So. Like making the switch over. How have you found like especially at the start, like you're being satiated and being like feeling satisfied. How hard was that transition to get into so the reason why I say this is I know for me, like right now I'm trying to correct some of my dietary choices, and my body's so used to like sugar and that if I don't get certain things, I don't feel like satisfied.
I tried to replace it with, I mean, I've been drinking a bit of diet soda, not too much, but a little bit of that.
This guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
This is this like, yeah.
I'm trying these ones.
Stevia is amazing.
Yeah, I don't this I didn't like I this is my first time. This is my first one of these. I didn't like this one, but the grape one was quite good.
Yeah, the grape one's legit. The ginger ale, that ginger ale is ginger ale. Yeah. The root beer, like, come on, like that's amazing. The only one too. I like is the standard, is the blue one, the regular cola one. I don't like.
Okay, I'm not a big cola guy, so it's fine. That's fine.
They in the States, I think it's in the U.S. They don't seem to have it here. They have a, I think they have a Dr. Pepper version.
Oh, that would be so good. I've been trying to get my hands on Diet Dr. Pepper, but because of the pandemic, they're very hard to find, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, like there's a whole like community of pop drinkers on the internet that me and my brother found trying to find Diet Sprite. And apparently they're not producing it because there's an aluminum shortage because the factory shut down.
So they're just not, they don't have the cans?
Yeah, so the cans are being prioritized with things they know are going to sell at higher volume.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, so like for that, just go with the whatever one. Well, I guess they don't have a Sprite. They only have ginger ale
for Zevia. Yeah, I'm getting the Compliments brand ginger ale, diet ginger ale as well, which is fine. It's pretty good. I'm into that one.
Okay. Yeah.
But I found diet soda and CBD tincture straight up.
Yeah.
Those two things got me where I needed to go pretty quick.
Is that full spectrum?
Well, what do you mean by full spectrum? Like with THC?
Yeah. Is there as well or just straight CBD?
Not just straight CBD. I also do like smoke weed, but I do that at the end of the day. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like a two puff Tony or whatever you want to call me. You know, I take two little puffs, put on a movie or put on a podcast and fall asleep. You know,
okay.
That's like kind of how I use marijuana. I've been using it a little bit more than I used to because I'm not drinking, but
okay.
Yeah. I'm not crazy. I was a big stoner when I was younger, but I'm not crazy about it anymore. You know, it's just, it makes me weird. You said with Clint in that podcast, that's in my notes too, that you're not a weed guy, but Clint's a cannabis advocate in his own words.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And I just had a bad experience one time. It was one of the triggers for a horrific panic attack that I had that night. And it was just a whole bunch of stuff came together and it was craziness. And it just like, it decimated me internally for like 2 years, this one evening. And it basically put me on a course of choosing how I wanted to deal with the stuff that I had internally, I guess. So yeah. It was a good eye-opening experience, but since then I haven't partaken. Yeah.
Yeah. Marijuana is interesting in that realm where there's two brands of thought, and Clint might have talked about this, but I don't think he did. This is some Joe Rogan shit big time, but it's basically like there's two types of relationships you can have with it. It makes everybody anxious, at least in the first 20 minutes of after ingesting it. Anecdotally, you know, and then it's either like, it either freaks you out or you kind of learn to love the anxiety. And yeah. neither are right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just who you are. And some people like to confront that stuff and some people are better off confronting it through exercise or through da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But no,
brings,
I do, yeah.
It brings that shit to the forefront and depending on who you are, that's either good or bad. You know, like...
Yeah, for me at that time, like, I was just like, I was a different person. It was a long time ago. So yeah, it definitely brought everything to the forefront and it just, the whole thing sort of exploded literally.
Yeah. It'll do that.
Oh yeah. And then it was like a rebuild process, rebuild better and stronger.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta love weed.
So for, as far as cookies go,
yeah, that was my next question. I want to know store-bought and then general. Those are the two things I want to know.
Store-bought?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
There's not as much of a plethora as there is of candy bars, but...
Like store-bought cookies.
Oreos.
I mean, like when I was growing up, Oreos and Dad's cookies.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't actively go out and seek either of those things now. I don't know what I would do for store-bought cookies because all the ones I have are like from a particular place in town. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I don't know. Like there's lots of different stuff. I honestly don't know what I would do if I was going for store-bought cookies. Like
the one with the little cherry candy thing in the middle. That's my number one.
So Peak Freen's.
Peak Freen's. Is that what they're called? Yeah.
Like it's like a vanilla white thing, and in the center is the red circle.
Exactly. That's my number one. That's a big one, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like have you ever tried a Jammy Dodger?
No. I like the name.
Which is a UK thing, and I've never had one, but to me they look kind of similar, but allegedly they're very different. So I would say if you can find Jammy Dodgers, I haven't had it yet. I think my girlfriend's going to try and track some down so I can try them. I think those will be something to look into. Like, you should add that to your list. Jammy Dodger.
Yeah, I just looked them up. Yeah, they look similar, but it looks like the
it looks like it's
center is made out of something more gelatinous.
Yeah, like an actual, it looks to me like it's more like jam.
Yeah, like it's wet, you know?
Yeah. Instead of like a jelly, like on the Peak Freen's.
Yeah. Oh, I think I'd like that. I think I'd like that with a cup of tea, you know?
So, I mean, as far as like cookies at like a place where you can just go and get a cookie, then it's the again, I have a post ready for this. I haven't posted it yet. The chocolate mint cookie at the Hot and Cold Cafe is just an absolute insane cookie. My favorite in the city for sure. If you like chocolate chip mint.
I do. It's my favorite ice cream.
Okay. Then you,
my favorite ice cream.
Okay. Maybe you shouldn't have this because you might buy like 20 of them.
Yeah. Not anytime soon, man. Hopefully.
Dude, you have a lot of money. Trust me.
Yeah.
Just go try it though. It's incredible.
Can't say I've ever had a mint cookie. Oh, you know what? There's fucking Girl Guide cookies. I've had those, but that's not the same thing.
That's different. This is like a, it looks like a double chocolate cookie. That's what it looks like in there. The way they do it is just, it's a phenomenal situation.
So do they use the actual herb or do they use like an extract? Do you know?
I don't know. I would like to think that place is probably using an actual piece of mint.
Yeah. I don't even know how that would be. There's plenty of ways you could do it, actually, now that I think about
there's no piece of mint in it that you can't tell there's mint, like an actual piece of mint in it, but the flavor is strong, so I don't know.
You could beat the mint in with the sugar like crazy. That might work. That would be interesting. I don't know.
See, I know it tastes so good.
It sounds good.
Yeah, there's a little bit, there's a bunch of stuff going on there. It's definitely very sweet. Again, so I guess keto, you can't do this.
No, but I can think about it.
At some point you could, or if you're having a cheat day. Have you had any cheat days?
Nope.
Zero.
Can't operate on cheat day. Can't do that.
Are you all or nothing?
All or nothing, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I am too. I have a hard time trying to like have a cheat day once in a while. If it's so much easier if I just go all in and I don't deviate.
Yeah, exactly. Although once, if I get my cardio up again, then we could start fucking with some carbs, you know?
And then it'll be okay.
Yeah. Once I'm comfortable running like 5-6 kilometers, like, and it's like, yeah, I can do that. Then some carbs can come in. Then we can talk.
Okay. Like, what's the furthest you've run?
I could do 3K, no problem. And then after that, I start to really feel it.
Okay.
I've been going on like, I try to walk 10K a day. I'm unemployed right now. I'm just doing whatever I want. So,
just, yeah, 10K is a lot.
Yeah, but I'm walking.
Yeah, but still, that's a lot. How many footsteps is that?
I have no idea.
Your phone should tell you. You should check it.
No, I try not to track anything because that gets the obsession too far and then I start disappointing myself. You know, if I set these goals and then I don't meet them and then I'm like, fuck the app. Da, 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 da. I know what works. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I can't count calories. I can't do any of that. Like I've done it all before. That's where I start losing it. You know?
So what happens if you're counting, if you're looking at your steps and you're like, yesterday I did 20,000 steps and then now it's today. What goes through your head when you see 20,000 yesterday? Do you have to do more today?
Yeah. Yeah. I got to do more today.
And if you don't do more today, then you feel badly?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So like it turns into some type of contest versus.
Yeah. I even hate that the treadmills that I've been running on have a display.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
I did 15 minutes on the treadmill yesterday. Now I have to do 16 today. I did that today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I respect that. I mean, every time I would get on like an exercise bike, the first time I went on it, it's great because I have no expectation of anything. But that's the baseline. Like now I've just done something. Now I know I can do that thing. Like how am I going to better it next time? So like my fitness challenge was Mount Finlayson and trying to get up that thing in under half an hour. Yeah.
Did you do it?
Yeah. It took me like 18 months, but I did it.
Yeah, that's hard. Half an hour is fast, man. On Finlayson.
The thing is, like when you're doing it, you're not actually going that fast. You just keep a steady pace. You're literally just walking, but it's a sort of a quick walk and you're not stopping at any point. From when you get off of the road and there's that little line of rocks from that point to the very top where a little metal piece thing is up there.
Yeah.
Like there's no stopping. You just keep, but you're not going really that fast. You just don't stop.
Man. You don't play, do you play video games at all? You're not a gamer. Are you a gamer?
Yeah. I used to be pretty big into that. And I honestly didn't have the time, but lately I've been playing Assassin's Creed Origins.
Okay.
And I've been really enjoying that from like a collector. I've always collected things, you know? So that's from a collector standpoint, it's really good that way. It's very like rewarding, I guess.
I was going to say you could lose a lot with your disciplinary kind of mind, really lose a lot of time to video games.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Because like when I play video games now, I want to be all in on video games. I don't want to get off the couch. Like what's food? I don't even get up and eat. I just want to, I'm doing that. I'm like all in on my games.
Yeah.
So that's why I just generally don't even turn the thing on because it's not good news.
Yeah. I play games, but I try and find games that have like 8-hour campaigns and no longer. So I don't fucking lose my
mind. Have you done VR?
VR. I really want to. Oh, I did. My buddy had a VR headset. I did it once. I did a roller coaster simulator and it was fucking intense, man.
Yeah. Like if you play that, that Half-Life game, Half-Life Alyx.
That looks so cool.
Like that game in VR is just that's you're in a different place. Or playing like the Rick and Morty game.
Yeah.
Like even that, like there's the one part where you teleport to this like planet and there's these flying insect looking guys and your arms are like cannons. So there's these insect guys that are like 5 feet tall or something, like 40 feet away from you flying in the air, hovering, and like you're shooting them with these cannon things. And like your brain is interpreting this as what you're doing because it looks like it's cartoony, but that's the world you're in.
Yeah.
And it's so weird.
I don't know. You think it's good for your brain? Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I think it can be challenging because like that's being in that world and all these different things. I could see people getting addicted to it.
Yeah.
It's a different thing than like sitting down with a controller.
Yeah.
It's just very different. Like the first time I kneeled and in the game, there was a counter. So I reached out to like help push myself up. But of course in real life, there was nothing there. Like I was looking at it through the VR headset. So I reached out to try and push on this counter to let myself up and there's nothing there. And I like fell over. So
yeah,
there's the little differences about it. It's cool though. It's really neat.
I think, yeah,
it's really neat.
The consumer in me is scared of VR, but the art brain in me thinks that it has a lot of creative potential. That will be mined for the decades to come.
Oh, that's insane. Yeah. Like the start of like Half-Life, you can go to, at the very, very start, when you're on that roof, like you can take things and pick them up and like throw them off. There's people down on like the street down beneath. And like, you can take things and like throw it off and try and hit them, or like throw it on the building across the street. And then you can go get these little Sharpie marker things and you can write on the windows with a little Sharpie marker. And that's like just doing that, like right at the very, very, very start when you first load the game. And then you go downstairs and look out and you see like the soldiers are like have people handcuffed and they're walking with them. But it's like, it's, you're looking through this window of like this basement area and it's like 6 feet tall people. Like, it's like, it looks like these are actual people and they're like right there, like on the other side of a window, like you're at their feet level and they're just walking. And it's the craziest thing.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that evolve. Cause it's still not really consumer friendly. It doesn't seem like for a widespread, you know, there's 100 PlayStation 4s for every VR headset that's out there, you know?
Yeah. I think that Facebook with the Quest 2 made a big jump.
Yeah.
I mean, they put some people off requiring that you have to have a Facebook account.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, but overall, I think it's going to get a lot of people in that weren't in previously. And that's a good thing. Like, one thing that's really cool, I just bought it actually. Natalie really wants to play it, but it's a remake of Myst. I don't know if you ever played Myst.
Oh, dude, I played Myst. Yeah. I actually have a song where I sample some Myst stuff in it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, so they made a Myst. It's a remake, but in VR. So the whole game's in VR.
That would make that more exciting in 2021. You know, so, the point, what do you call it? Point and click. It's not really a point and click adventure per se. Puzzle, I suppose.
I used to point and click adventures used to be like growing up when I was like 10 and 12 and stuff, like Monkey Island.
Yeah, Grim Fandango.
Yeah, see, Grim Fandango. For some reason, I never played that one. I played it like 3 years ago. But I didn't play it back then, so I don't have the nostalgia for it.
The LucasArts, right? That's who made those games?
Yeah, LucasArts did Monkey Island.
Tim Schafer, right? Is that guy's name? Tim Schafer.
I'm not sure. But there's like, yeah, like Police Quest and Leisure Suit Larry and all these, man. All those games, like Space Quest. I mean, that was Sierra, but I used to love those things so much. Police Quest, yeah, for sure. Like the originals, the original.
Yeah. These might be worth my time again, man, because they'd run on my computer just fine, you know?
They would run. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could play them.
Looking for games that would run on my fucking shit computer. I've been playing Worms, old Worms games, if you remember those.
I think I can picture the thing. I never played them.
Yeah, they're just like tactical warfare, 2D, goofy.
Is that the tank type thing where you shoot one team shoots over and then the other team shoots back?
You got it.
Okay. I think I might have played that.
Yeah. It's fun.
But do you have a timeline on when you want to build another computer or build a computer?
I need a job, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta pay tuition and then after that I'm pretty broke, so we'll see where I go from there. But
okay.
Yeah.
So you got school right now?
Yeah, I got school right now. Yeah.
Yeah. How's that going?
Love it. Loving it.
Yeah. And then, so obviously, is that online?
Yeah, it's online. Yeah. Which I don't love, but it's convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, so you'd rather have it be in person?
I'd rather not be at home.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I go to the school library all the time, though. That's where I do all my work.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to not work at home. I prefer to be, like at the office or whatever, I don't want to be in the place where I am the rest of the time, especially not like when I work here, I'm working at the same desk that I have my personal computer on. So I need that separation. I don't want to be in the same area, but I have no other option here.
Yeah. Church and state, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Space is it's very important for productivity. I wanted to say creativity, but I think I want to be more broad than that, you know?
I could see that.
And understanding your space, you know.
Yeah. Do you collect things or have clutter at all? Or are you pretty like minimal?
I'm minimal and but impulsive. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I get into some and I'll buy a couple things of it. But
you're not going to be like a hoarder situation? Like,
no, dude, I'm not sentimental about objects. Or anything okay. Like that. None of that. In fact, that was a point of contention with a roommate of mine many years ago.
Really?
where he was just crazy possessive over like cups and shit. And I was like, man, it's a fucking cup, man. Come on. I'm drinking but coffee like, out of your cup.
It's like a mug and it's his favorite mug.
Or something like that. Yeah, shit like that. Like,
you use the mug, like all of a sudden, like his day's over because he couldn't have coffee in his mug.
It wasn't even that he couldn't have coffee. It's that it wasn't him using it or trust. Da, 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 da.
Just the fact that he used it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I'm thinking of, it was this big stein, not a mug, but yeah, there's a specific incident. Yeah. He's a good guy. That thing we'll never agree on though.
Yeah. I mean, I can see.
I know I'm right. I know I'm right. Like on a, if you take a step away from the kind of emotional aspect, it's just a fucking beer stein, dude. I was drinking water out of it. It wasn't like it was making it smelly or anything, you know?
Yeah, I actually, I have a little bit of that in me. Like with when people use my stuff, because I take really good care of things. And I think it was partly when I was growing up that I sort of experienced some of this, but is that something I'm trying to undo and get over?
That's good. I genuinely believe it's a bad quality.
Honestly. Yeah. And that's why I can recognize what I'm doing sometimes. And I'm like, I don't like the fact that this is bothering me like that. Not on that level that I think that you're talking about, but it's there on some level. So I just want to, I need to get rid of that. And I'm trying to, I'm working on it.
Yeah. You can. I'm sure you will. Sounds like that's one of your best working motors in your brain is the motor of internal change, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the way I kind of look at it is like the person I am for today is like, I'm perfect. But if I was the same exact person with the same exact thoughts, with the same answers to everything you asked me a year from now, then that means the past year I didn't do something right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for this moment, yeah. Perfect for who I need to be. Not perfect, but just for who I need to be. Yes.
I think the biggest quality to develop for that to work, and this is something I struggle with that I'm sure I'll keep getting better at it, but is, internal patience.
Patience with you as far as being patient with yourself?
With your own change.
Okay.
So being patient, like, you know, it's Rome wasn't built in a day, da 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 da, right?
So you like to have more immediate
feedback, man. Yeah. Yeah. That's the drug addict in me, you know.
Yeah, so you like to, okay. So do you find it really challenging if you try to make a change then and it's like it's gonna be like a slow grind?
I don't know if I find it challenging. I find it annoying.
Okay.
Yeah. I, with skills, not so much, but with like self-improvement, you know what I mean? Like, I play a lot of instruments and, you know, I slowly get better at them all the time and I'm cool with that, but I've been doing that since the fundamental ages of playing instruments, you know, so that specifically is fine with me.
Yeah.
But then like with like fitness right now or whatever, I'm not as fit as I used to be. And that's driving me fucking crazy. I can't run 10K. I couldn't run 10K right now. I used to be able to do that. No problem.
So what was the furthest you've ever run? Like at one time?
Furthest in one go I've ever run?
Yeah.
Half marathon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't run it. I could probably do like 1 or 2 kilometers most at like my peak level in my life.
Yeah.
Like I've been really fit. I just can't run long distances.
It's all up here. It really is. Like, except right now it's not all up here. Cause up here I know I can do it, but physically I can't do it. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
I quit smoking 2 years ago and I can't do it. I used to be able to do it while I was smoking, man.
Yeah. This is just a limitation of right now. You know, you can do it. It's like, do you know David Goggins?
No.
Now he's like an ultra marathon runner now, but he's very famous about basically, to me, he's just like, he's a good example of being extreme in your life and the style of life you lead. And, yeah, he's an example of like, most people want to stop at like 30 or 40%. Like that's where people think it's like, okay, I got no more left. I got to stop like this exercise or whatever. You still have another like 60% left.
Yeah.
And the more like, the more I've been doing, like I went to Innovative Fitness for a bit of time. And the guy that trained me there was like, he was on Canada's rugby team, the national rugby team. So he's like a professional athlete. And he was showing me within myself internally that I just had whole other levels of physicality that I had no idea were there. So the more I work out, and every time I push a little bit more, and over time I got the point where I'd want to stop when I started all of this was so far removed from where I could push myself to now. I'm like, for sure there's another extra like 60, 70% there.
Yeah. And that's where the beautiful meeting of the mind and body that is easy to never let happen in your average day to day.
Yeah. So I think it's good that you're aware that like it's a mental thing.
Yeah, it is a mental thing.
Even right now, it might not be totally, but you can do it.
Yeah, I know I can do it. I know I can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's important because you've been there. You've done it before.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a teenager, but I like, you know.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can do it.
I can
do it. The one I really wanted to do was dunk a basketball.
Oh, yeah, you're 6'4", man.
I know.
You've heard a lot of, you should play basketball, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, I mean, I did play basketball. I was never really that great. But like before COVID, the year and a half leading up to COVID, I was on a team pretty much at all times. So my big thing was I was going to do it, but my knee started to hurt, so I couldn't. But I was going to start training so I could like dunk again. But that, yeah, my body's was telling me no. So.
Sometimes it's good to not, yeah, like when the body's really telling you no, the mental's got to chill. That's how you end up like a lot of football players and shit, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to hurt myself. If I pushed that, what that exercise program wanted me to do, I would have, like I had my IT band was giving me a lot of problems at that time. And it was painful where I couldn't go down. I think it was going downstairs. Going up was okay. It was going down. And I couldn't go downstairs. And it was just, that started to ignite. And I'm just like, I can't push through this, even though I want to, and I could, it's not worth it.
Yeah. That's what I've been trying to be careful about in the gym, as well as not hurting myself where I'm doing, and I've never done it this way before, is the super low weights and just as many reps as I can. Cause I know that won't hurt me, but I can test my mind and can recondition my body to be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's
working pretty good. Yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
Okay. Yeah, I think that doing lower weight, you're certainly not going to have the wear and tear on your body. That's one thing I'm finding now, you know, being like 37, that like stuff hurts now that this stuff never used to hurt. Yeah. And I'm not even old. And I'm like... What is this? Our bodies are stupid in a way. Like they're so like, it's just so dumb in a way. I don't know.
Yeah. Although those bones, man, those are the same bones from 37 years ago, right? Like,
yeah,
they've been through some shit.
Oh yeah. They have
scars, you know?
Yeah. I would say for sure. I wish, cause I worked out up until this past year for about 10 or 11 years. And this like straight pretty much. 3 days a week, 2 days a week, whatever. And I wish that I hadn't tried to lift heavier when I was younger. Like, I mean, physically I could, but I caused myself a lot of problems because I wasn't doing it properly.
Yeah. Yeah. I know all about that.
Yeah. You got to be careful. Like I was doing bench press wrong. And I created like this big pocket in the middle of my back on the right side, that this huge like lump of like muscle where I focused everything on that point. And there was this huge lump that took like years to like break back down and get rid of.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm trying to be careful of, is all of that.
Yeah.
Just cause that's the way the low weights is good. Cause it's like, you, it's much easier to take the time to make sure your form is good instead when it's really heavy and you're like, I just got to fucking squat this or whatever. Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. You could do it, but you're probably not going to be doing it properly. And now you're compromising something. If you pop your back, like, you just wrecked yourself for life potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. Please don't do that. I mean, like, I think the most I did with like dumbbells was like 120 on the bench press in each hand, which,
yeah, that's huge, man.
Like, I don't know. And actually, I think I did it. I don't know if I did it 2 days. I know I did it the one time. And the first time I lifted it up, because like the thing that I found when you're doing like dumbbell bench press, do you ever do dumbbell bench press?
I've been doing dumbbell bench press with tens.
Oh, so yeah. So like did you ever do it with like heavyweight?
No, I was never a bench press guy. Never. Okay. Not in my peak physical fitness. I was I did push-ups. I was my like, you know.
Your chest.
100 plus a day. Yeah. Like shit. Like,
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But like, so I mean, I do the 120 pounds, which, you know, there's guys who can do a lot more than that. But for me, that was a lot. And I think once I got over 100 pounds, I couldn't, like, traditionally, I think with dumbbells, you sort of put them on your knees and then you lay back, you get them here, and then you push them up, mm-hmm. but off your chest down here, this little bit here, it's so hard to get that, the leverage to be able to get from off the chest just up to here, then this part's easy.
Yeah.
But it's this little part at the start that, like, trying to do that. So what I would do is I would put them on my knees, and as I'm laying back from a seated position, my arms are out the whole time.
Like, yeah.
Me. So I'd lay down with my arms out and I would control the weight up in the air. So it's already up at the top of the bench press. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. That would hurt you.
Yeah. So you're using all these stabilizing muscles because there's no way I could get from down here to up here.
Yeah. But that would hurt your joints so bad, man.
So the first couple times I tried it, my buddy was with me, but I just lost the weight. It was too much.
Yeah.
Like I literally, the first time I sat back and they both like went out like this and like yanked both my shoulders back. I don't know how I didn't seriously injure myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Exercise. It's good for you. Be careful.
Good for you. Just, yeah. Don't go crazy. Don't deadlift 400 pounds and beyond. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's another thing. I don't know. Be smart.
Yeah. Be careful with those composite ones, you know, or whatever you call them. What do you call them? Not calisthenics. That's body weights. Whatever. Composites, like, you know, chin-ups, bench press, squats, deadlift.
Oh, like compound.
Compound. That's the word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the ones where you can really fuck yourself up because it's hitting so much of your body and you can end up focusing on the little parts of it while you're doing it based on the way you're leaning or you're...
Yeah. Like when I was doing bench press, my head would be off on an angle. So I'd be doing it like this.
Yeah.
And I never realized that my head wasn't like straight. So my buddy eventually he told me I was doing this. Or another thing too, like I was doing so much stuff wrong. My left arm would be actually, the bar wouldn't be straight across. It would be on an angle like down like this. Because my left arm was, my hand was lower than my right arm. So when I was doing it, I was doing it on an angle. So it was like down like this instead of being like straight. So there's a lot. You got to be careful. Somebody needs to really kind of watch you and make sure everything's okay. The only thing I think I did okay on was deadlift. Because for the first 6 months, my buddy and I held one of the dowels. Like we took our fist and put it in the other guy's lower back. And held the dowel so it connected on our tailbone between the shoulder blades and the back of the head.
Right.
So that you had that straight line behind you. And then so every time you're going up, you're maintaining contact. So from the start, I started doing it that way. And that that ingrained that posture into me. So I never hurt myself deadlifting, which I was thankful for.
It's literal muscle memory, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like the most I did on that was like 405 or something.
Oh, that's big.
I never wore a belt and it just, I don't know. There's no need to do that for at least for me.
Yeah.
I kind of had enough. I never hurt myself, but I don't think I needed to do that. Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to end this conversation. You cool with that?
Cool. Oh yeah. Yeah. How long has it been? 2 hours?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
How long these things you?
Between 40 minutes and an hour and a half. I think you're the longest one, if not the second longest one. We'll find out after I export this, but well done.
There we go. Thank you. I'm very tired right now.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. So you've kept me awake. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, man. Vic Food Guys, Instagram, easy to find. Vic Food Stories podcast. Very thoughtful. Give it a listen.
Thank you.
And when Rap and Roll reopens, go check that shit out.
Yes. That's like a mandatory thing. Mandatory. Watch out for them. Look them up on Instagram and Facebook. Updates will be there when they need to be.
Hell yeah. Okay. Thanks, man.